Tarraway, North West London. Chav Gimel Shvat, 14th of February. Barav Ephraim Elior Shapira Shlita on a topical theme. I hope you decided what you're speaking about. This week's Tarraway has been sponsored by family Moravietsky, Leonishmas Moras Kava Basra Motchameh Olea Shalom, his Yotzeit was Chofdala Teves. And by family Wieselfeld, the initial Moros Chabad, the Mario Basim in Israel, who is the old type of Schof Heshvat, or the Inishmas of Imori Rabbi Yitzchok and Rabbi Yaakov, who is the old type will be Shabbos Schof Zayin Shvat.
I appreciate being invited to speak here this morning, and I'm very grateful to Dudi Itzkovitz for allowing me and granting me this opportunity, Asher Koyach, and to each and every one of you, Yamali Hashem Kol Mashal Slibchem L'Toiva. The reason that I've had the privilege of coming to England for a few days, a day in London, a day in Manchester, a day in Gateshead, was L'Chvoy, the 30th yahrzeit of the Manchester Rosh Hashiva, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh L'Vrach, and of course that yahrzeit was yesterday. And I came on behalf of the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, as well as Haderech, Rav Avi Yudenkin, I'm very grateful to. And all of the talks, in one way or another, of course, have had the theme of Shmiras Haloshein Bein Adam L'Chaveira Havas Yisrael. And I want this to follow that same pattern for the simple reason that the matara and the purpose of the trip on behalf of the foundation, L'Chvoid the Yard Site, was really to create a greater awareness of these inyanim. If a person takes a look a few weeks ago, when we were at the end of Sefer Bereshis, we know that the Pasuk says, then Chazal tell us, the Medrash speaks out, that when Yosef revealed his identity to his brothers, he sent everybody out of the room. Chazal say l'sakana gedayli, put himself in great danger, because they could have caused him harm. No one would have been around to have seen or known about it, and that was putting himself in a very dangerous and a precarious situation. Why did he do it? The Sforim HaKadoshim bring down a very powerful concept, because he knew that when he would go ahead and reveal his identity, it might very well be that if others were in the room, the way that they would, others would hear about his revealing his identity to his brothers, and he felt it's just not worth it. It's not worth that I'll have to go ahead and say those words in the presence of others. So he put himself in that sakana gedayla, because he felt it's just not worth it. In fact, you find this theme again and again throughout the end of Yosef's life. If you take a look, there was a 17-year period from the age of 130 to the age of 147 that he lived in Mitzrayim in close proximity to Yaakov Avinu. If I would ask you how often, of course we know to visit a father, how often do you think he visited him in the privacy of his home? You'd make a cheshbon, 17 years if he visited him daily. A person visits a parent daily, that's 5,000 visits. Twice a day, 10,000. Chazal tell us that he visited his father in the privacy of the home not once. Not once. Of course, he saw him in many other public settings, but not once in the home. And why not? Because he was afraid potentially that if they were in the privacy of the home, just his father and him and Yaakov Avinu would wonder what happened to all those years. He'd be put in a position where he would have to speak about his brothers, the Shiftei Kah, and he didn't want to have to say something negative. Again, the theme that we said a moment ago, it's just not worth it. And Chazal are replete with example after example. Now you might say to yourself, okay, that was been okay and relevant to his brothers. He felt it's just not worth it. time and time again, you see he didn't want to put himself in a compromising situation or having to say something negative about somebody else. You can't speak negatively about a person. So you might say this is about the Shvatim. But if you take a look by the Maisa with Eishes by Tivar, the Pasuk says, Vayonos Vayetze Hachutza. Now, if you think about it, Vayonos and Vayetze is a redundancy. Vayonos and Vayetze both mean that he fled and he went out. The Sifarno asks, why the double Lashon? Listen to a pshat that he says that's mamish pilei ployim. He's masmir because when he was in the palace, when he was in the home, together with Eishes Potiphar, to get out of the clutches of Aveira, he ran as quickly as he possibly could, as indicated by the word Vayonos. But if he would have continued running at that same extraordinary speed once he made it into the street, what happens if you see somebody running in the street? You stop. Is everything okay? Is everything all right? Is everything okay? He didn't want to attract that attention because then he'd have to speak negatively about whom? Eishes Potiphar. Vayetze hachutza. Once he walked outside, he walked out slowly and methodically so as not to attract attention. Memel, it's not a redundancy. The Vayonis is running out of the home with an extraordinary speed to get out of the grips of Avera, but not to continue that in the street because then he'd have to be in a position to speak about Eishes Potiphar, and it's just not worth it. Memela Vayetze Vayonos and then Vayetze Hachutza. And this was about whom, Rabbi Yisai? This was about Eishes Potiphar. Time and time again you see, it's just not worth it. A person finds themselves in a situation and a word could be said where you could make someone feel through Lashon Hara, Rechilus, or Nos Dvorim, Moisi Shemra. It could shatter the person's self-esteem. It could dissolve a relationship. It could cause irreparable damage within a family, within a shul, within a kehillah. It's just not worth it. I remember about 20 or so years ago when I was learning the sugya of Oinoas Dvarim and the Gemara on Oinoas Mamain, Chazal tell us that one learns Oinoas Dvarim from Oinoas Mamain. And then it dawned on me the following chiddush. How is one in violation of Oinoas Mamain? There are two things you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to overcharge. You're not allowed to underpay a specific amount. Overcharging is not fair to the customer. Underpaying is not fair to the one trying to make the sale. If we learn overcharging and underpaying, and we learn Oinoas Devarim from Oinoas Mamain, it would stand to reason that the same two things that you can't do by money, you can't do by words. Don't overcharge and don't underpay. As I had mentioned last night, overcharging is the idea that you speak when you should have remained silent. And underpaying is that you remain silent when you should have spoken up. Somebody subsequently showed me a Zohar where the Zohar says equal in the next world to the punishment for speaking when a person should have remained silent is the punishment for remaining silent when you should have spoken up. I hope we appreciate the profundity of that comment. You're not allowed to overcharge and never, ever underpay. Overcharging means you spoke when you should have been silent, and to that we said on multiple occasions in the life of Yosef HaTzadik, remind yourself, it's just not worth it. It's not worth it. And never, ever underpay. If you could offer that word, if you could say that comment that could build up the person, to that we say, it is just so worth it. The ability to go ahead and to build up a fellow Yid, to go ahead and to be Marbe Shalom and Marbe Reyus, the overcharging, it's just not worth it. The underpaying is so, so worth it. And certainly when we speak on behalf of the 30th Yard Site of the Manchester Rosh Hashiva Zecher Tzaddik V'Kodesh Livracha, we remind ourselves to take upon ourselves the laws of Shmiras HaLashon. We know that the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal Shtal Levek, the calendar, to learn two halachas a day. One learns these halachas, it becomes a part of him. These inyanim mamish become a chelek of who the person is. I mentioned last night, it's a reality. This type of speech, where our speech is the proper, pristine type, it's truly who we could become. I was once speaking about this topic a number of years ago, and a young couple came over to me and shared with me the following story. At first, they didn't tell me that it was about them themselves, but I saw they were so emotional when they were saying over the story, I realized they mean that it happened to them. And after two or three times, they indeed said it did. They said, listen to what happens with Lashon Naki. Look at what happens in a home where you learn these ideals of not overcharging and not underpaying, but rather pure speech. This family lived in Eretz Yisrael. They had gone on a vacation, and they came back after a few day vacation, as many people with little children might do on their vacation. They might have a minivan, and instead of packing in one suitcase, everyone takes their own little peklach. You have two or three peklach per child. You can almost have dozens of peklach in the back and in the trunk. I know looking at the faces of the oilim, you realize that's a common scene and something you might be familiar with. They had arrived back home about an hour or so before Minchan Shkia, so they made up they would do the following. He told his wife, you go into the kitchen, I'll stay here in the back. It takes a good while to clean up, and we'll create with the little children an assembly line, and I'll pass it one child to the other, and then when it's finished, I'm going to be leaving to Mincha. So essentially, he was saying goodbye to his wife at that point for in about 45 minutes after everything was in, and away he was going to leave to Mincha. He reminded me, and she reminded me, their home was one of impeccable Shmiras HaLashon and Lashon Naki. And they're unpacking all of the little peklach through the assembly line, beautiful orchestration. And after a number of minutes, one of the children comes out and he says to the father, Abba, Ima says you're working like a dog. And he said, Ima said I'm working like a dog? We don't speak that way in the family. Ima said that? That almost seems not possible. He was so frightened upon hearing that his wife said he was working like a dog. He chapped right away, something must be wrong. We don't speak that way. And although he wasn't planning to go into the house, as I mentioned, he was on his way to Mincha, he ran into the house and there he found his young wife in the kitchen leaning against the counter. One hand on the counter, the other was holding a glass bottle of water. And she was trembling, her lips and part of her face were blue. I don't remember the exact mental condition, whether it was a brain aneurysm or something similar to that with the flow of the blood. She had dropped the glass bottle of water. Her lips were trembling. Right away he realized it was an intense medical emergency. He called the emergency personnel in Eretz Yisrael. They ran her immediately to the hospital. The doctors, Bechazle HaGadol, B'siyata D'shmaya Meruba, were able to save the life of his wife. After the surgery was finished with whatever the medical condition, I forget now at this exact moment what it was, they told him, I want you to know, had she come in 10, 15, 20 minutes later, she wouldn't be alive. And at that point she looked at me and said, please, wherever you speak, tell the Olam, Lashon Naki saves lives. They were sobbing when they were telling me the story, and of course he explained to me the only reason that he ran in was because since their home is one of Lashon Naki, he knew something was amiss and wrong hearing that expression. And indeed, the only reason she said an expression like Abba's working like a dog that she would have normally never have said is because since there was something going on in her brain and something going on with the blood and some type of aneurysms and things weren't proper, that's the only reason why that sentence came out that normally would never come out because she was going through a medical emergency. They were sobbing and said, please remind the Olam, Lashon Naki saves lives. Parenthetically, my wife, she should live and be well, told the young woman when analyzing the story, you must be an extremely special person. Because even when you were going through that medical crisis and your brain and blood wasn't functioning properly, the worst thing that you said was, Abba's working like a dog. Echad Moira, that a lot of people, when they're not themselves and they're not thinking clearly, say far, far worse. And yet the worst thing that she said, because the home was so saturated with the DNA of Kedushas HaBem, Shmiras HaLoshon and Loshonaki, she begged me, Loshonaki saves lives. It's a reality. I mentioned the same theme last night. We could create a home environment, mamish, that's saturated with the DNA of proper speech. We don't speak about others. We don't talk behind their backs. We don't cause things to ruin and create irreparable damage. And while there are many reasons why it's entirely unacceptable, but our children are watching. Our children and our families are looking to learn from our example. There's a Gemara that tells us, Chazal tell us, that a person should live in a kehila where they have a gavra de mistafina mine. Literally, that means where there's someone that keeps them in line with check and balances. As I remember hearing the story on a number of occasions, the Ponovizhe Rav was in Detroit, in America. And he was visiting in Detroit the great Rosh Hashiva, the legendary Rosh Hashiva, Blei Baks. And the Ponovizhe Rav asked Reb Leib Baks, the Rosh Hashiva, the Chazal say you should live in a city that has a gavra de mistafina mine. I live in Bnei Brak, I have the Chazon Ish. But you're in Detroit, you're the Rosh Hashiva, you're the Arisha B'chabura. Who, pray tell, is your gavra de mistafina mine here in Detroit? And he looked at the Ponovizhe Rav and said, my gavra de mistafina mine are my children. My children are my gavra de mistafina mine. They're watching. They're learning from every action, reaction, interaction. There's so much at stake. What are we doing? A woman who lived in a certain part of Florida, she's no longer alive. I wouldn't say her name anyway, but she was once telling my wife a story. She was taking the metro bus in Miami where you pay once someone's 5 years old. She was getting on with her son, who was five and a few months, but she didn't want to pay a second fare only once. So she told her Yingala, when the driver asks you how old you are, tell him that you're 4 years old. She didn't want to pay a second fare. Okay, they get on the bus. She pays only once. So quizzically, the driver looks at the little boy and says, how old are you? He says, I'm 4 years old. He remembers what his mother said. The driver looks at the boy and says, when are you going to be five? He thinks for a moment and he says, the second I get off this bus. Who's our gavra de mistafina mine? They're watching. What are we doing? A person cannot so freely speak at a dinner table and critique a Rebbe or a teacher or a Rav or a Manig. If it needs to be said, it could be said in private to the spouse. There's a way, there's a time, there's a place. I'll tell you the flip side of that same coin of being five when you get off the bus. A mespal of ours in North Miami Beach, Florida, once went to visit family in Eretz Yisrael. And he was visiting the family and he noticed when he arrived in the beginning of the week that his little cousins, a boy and a girl, were playing with some friends Monopoly. Monopoly is a type of game that after a few hours when you lose your money, the game's over. And here they played the same game of Monopoly the entire week each evening, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It was literally countless hours. He was so exasperated. He asked his little cousin, a girl, 8 years old, 9 years old, on Thursday evening, how are you playing the same game of Monopoly all week? When you run out of money, the game is over. She looked at her cousin from America and said, run out of money? We started a gemach. A person doesn't run out of money. They started a gemach in Monopoly. Are we raising children that will be five when they get off the bus? Or are we raising children that will instinctively and intuitively know that Monopoly has a gemach? they are gavra de mistafina mine. And while there are many reasons to remember that Lashon Naki saves lives, and there are many reasons to remember that our home must be pure and pristine, and here's the good news, it's possible, it's a reality to create such a home. But certainly top on that list is that our children are watching, as I said a few moments ago, every action, every interaction, every reaction. The Pasuk says, V'yashuvu v'yachanu lefnei piachiris. We read it just a bit ago. Literally, it means that we stopped and encamped before the city known as Piachiris. I believe it was Reb Tzaddik who says, Al Pidrush, Piachiris, besides being the name of a city, Pi is the word mouth, your peh. Chirus is from the word chirus that speaks so freely. V'yashuvu v'yachanu. Stop! Lefnei piachiris. Before your mouth speaks so freely. It's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. Sometimes we've been the recipient of that pain and that comment. And you know how it makes us feel. Overcharging, as Yosef HaTzadik taught us, is just not worth it. Underpaying, that word that's said and timed so well, could be matzil nefashais. That is so worth it. I'll share with you a maisa that happened a number of years ago. It's actually a maisa within a maisa. A number of years ago, one of our daughters in Beis Yaakov had finished her midterms, and she had a bit of free time before the next session in class started. My wife and I took her to a milchig, a restaurant during the day. It was pretty empty. There was a chassidish, a couple, at a table over, and off to the side were four young married women. I subsequently found out from a visiting country, but after a few moments, our peace and quiet was literally shattered. These four women were screaming, absolutely hollering at the waiter. A young man, young 20s, 22, 23, I still remember the two things they were yelling at him. They ordered a dish with cheese, and they were very dissatisfied with the amount of cheese that came. Mamish, like they thought it was Davi Avay Satuma. And then they complained, you brought us and offered us a cold drink or a hot drink. To Duri's credit, I believe when I walked in, you offered me a cold and a hot. So you see, the story worked excellently. When the country we come from, that's how I knew they were from a different country, we get offered both, not either or. They were mamish lambasting the waiter. I don't know why I was so frozen in place. Really, what I should have done was, I should have walked over to the four and said, get out of this restaurant. Don't ever speak to anyone like that. I perhaps was so frozen that I didn't. And I sat there in stunned silence with the fact that they were yelling at him. After a moment, my wife said to me, he was silent, he didn't answer back. We know Reb Chaim Kanievsky tells us, based on the Gemara and Shabbos, that if one is embarrassed and humiliated and shamed but doesn't answer back, they have the koyach to give a bracha. He was silent. Call him over to give a bracha. It's a good thing to listen to your wife. I called the young man over and I said to him, what's your name? He said, Shoam. I said, Shoam, Nidav Pob in North Miami, Tenli Bracha. And he thought I was making a joke. I'm just a waiter, you're a Rav, are you making a joke? I said, absolutely not. You were silent, you have the power to give a bracha. He didn't undercharge. I had the seichel to listen to my wife when she said, speak up. I didn't underpay. He gave us a bracha, and we were very heartsick and emotional. It was a beautiful bracha. We answered a resounding amen. He leaves, and he comes back a few minutes later. And I saw that he had been crying, and he says to me, Kod Harav, I want to tell you about my life. When I was 6 or 7, we were living in Eretz Yisrael, and I already started to be disinterested in the frum, authentic ways of my parents. By the time I was 13, I was even further off. 16, 17, I moved to America. A few years later, I married a Jewish woman, not religious, from Argentina. Now I'm 23. I've been off for about 16 years. He looked at me with tears coming down his face and said, I'm ready to be Chozer B'tshuva. I said, what? What do you mean, Shoam? He said to me, you believe that I had a power to give you a bracha. You believe that because I didn't overcharge and I remained silent and you didn't underpay, you spoke up and said that word, that I had the power to give you a bracha. I'm ready to be Chozer B'tshuva. On the spot, I went ahead and I got him the phone number of somebody to learn B'chavrusa. They learned B'chavrusa. He and his wife became extraordinary people who were Chozer B'tshuva. They went to Eretz Yisrael to redo parts of their marriage. They went to Hollywood, Florida, and they were learning in shir after shir. How do you think I felt a year later? After they became such B'nai Ali, when I got a phone call from Shoam and he said, Kvod HaRav, you of course remember who I am. Last week we had a baby boy and tomorrow morning's the bris. Would the Rav honor us by coming to the bris? Sometimes at night during the day I stop and think, where would Shoam be if I had underpaid and not called him over? Where would I be? Where would any person in the story be? He didn't overcharge. I listened to my wife and I didn't underpay. And there's a beautiful family in South Florida raising Erlicha children as a result of it. But I said to you, there's a story within a story. Because it was a number of years after that. This that I just shared with you about my story and Shoam was actually put on a beautiful video where you were able to see myself and Shoam saying over this extraordinary story exactly the way I told it to you. It was a few years ago on Hanukkah that I got a phone call from a woman I didn't know from New Jersey. And she said, I want to thank you. I said, okay, I don't know who you are, but I always take a thank you. My pleasure. What are you thanking me for? She said, you were the shadchan of my children got engaged. My daughter got engaged last night. I said, I don't really know who you are. She said, well, you weren't mamash the shadchan. Indirectly, you were the shadchan. I said, what do you mean? And this is the story she told me on Hanukkah. A woman that I didn't know from New Jersey. A few months prior, before Yom Kippur, she had heard there was a woman that was doing carpool and parked the car in a way that really bothered another parent. This man got out of the car and yelled in such a degrading fashion at another woman, the one that he felt wasn't parked properly. And she responded with silence. Later that day, the woman who's on the phone with me tells me she heard about that lady and she called up that lady and said, please, I need a favor from you. It's mamish before Yom Kippur. I heard what happened to you. I heard you were teshmetered and what happened when you didn't answer back. Do me a favor. And she went on to tell this lady, I just saw the video, the one that I referenced to you, where myself and Shoam were telling over the story about not overcharging and underpaying and everything that I just shared with you in the end. She said, you have the koyach habracha, you have the power, you didn't answer back, please, please, and there's something specific that I want. The lady speaking to me said that she told the other lady, we have a daughter that's in Shidduchim, and she has a certain medical condition which is really not a problem. But unfortunately, because of misinformation, people think it's a problem, and Shidduchim weren't coming, and they were starting to be miyayish. And she happened to have told me what the medical condition was. Of course, I'm not going to say. I told her that I wouldn't. But it genuinely wasn't a problem, except that there was misinformation. She said, we're giving up. She told the lady, please, you have the koyach habracha. And the lady started to cry. You really believe I have the power to give a bracha? And now both women are crying. She's crying because she has the power to give a bracha. The other's crying because she so desperately wants it. And she tells her, okay, now we're coming to Yom HaKadosh. I'll be mispalel for you and for your daughter that she'll be able to find the shidduch. And she gave a bracha. Be'ezus Hashem will happen b'karev. That conversation between the two women took place right before Yom Kippur. Right before Sukkot, not a week later. The lady on the phone with me tells me there was a shidduch they wanted for a number of years and for one reason or another it didn't work out. And Erev Sukkot, the lady tells me she got a phone call from a shatkin that the boy's family is very interested in the shidduch. They started to go out after Sukkot. And the woman called me on Hanukkah to say, last night, my daughter became a kala. And I feel that indirectly you're the shatkin because of your video. And so I want to say thank you. I was crying on that phone call. Meir Avir Abaisai, I shared with you Shoam part one in the restaurant. I shared with you Shoam part two where the shidduch took place and the woman called me the day after the vart. Let's go out and create Shoam Part 3. Don't overcharge. It's just not worth it. Not to your spouse, not to anyone. And please, never underpay. Because speaking up that fine word, that is just so worth it. Lashon Nakhi saves lives. I heard it from the couple. She begged me to travel around with that message. Our children are our gavur d'mistafina minei. How we act, react, and interact. They'll either be five when we get off the bus, or monopoly will instinctively and intuitively have a gemach. What's it going to be? It's within our power to create a home like the Manchester Rosh Hashiva was referring to, Shmiras HaLashon Kedushas HaPeh, purity, Kedusha, pristine, the way that it should be. We should be Zaycha to create Shoam Part 3. There will be an occasion where you will hold back and you won't overcharge. There will be occasion where you won't hold back and you won't underpay. You'll offer that fine word. That will continue the story within a story within a story. We should be zoicha through taking upon ourselves the two halachos each and every day, Ashtal Devek by the Rosh Hashiva, by creating this beautiful home environment to be gebenched with only Yiddish Nachas, Yemale Hashem Kol Mishal Slibchem L'Toiva, to be zoicha to kol abrochos haksuas b'toira, and the Gula Shalema, Bimheiran Biyameinu. Hey.